Thank you and good morning. So I'm going to talk about tank mixing some plant growth regulators that are relatively new to Western Canada and what our experience in the 2017 season was. So we definitely have lodging as a yield constraint in Alberta and Western Canada, and also quality and harvestability issues are here. So as Dr. Post alluded to, in malt barley production, quality is an issue, and this is actually a producer malt barley field this year. So we're definitely wanting to reduce lodging. It does happen every year unless we're in a big drought. And it also it happens in conditions that favor yield, so our high nitrogen and high precipitation conditions. So plant growth regulators can reduce lodging by mainly decreasing plant height. And as I said, they're relatively uncommon right now in Western Canada. There's been a recent registration of permaclot chloride on wheat as manipulator by Engage Agro. And Ethifon, which is registered as Ethro by Bayer Crop Science, is also on the market for wheat, but because of a narrow application window, crop safety concerns discourage Bayer from. Bayer does not encourage growers to use that product. There are no plant growth regulators registered on barley and oats at this time, although Trinexipac Ethyl, which is registered as Palisade in the States, is anticipated to be registered soon. So we are looking at the gibberellic acid inhibiting PGRs. So gibberellic acid, or GA, is responsible for stem elongation. And permaclot chloride inhibits this biological pathway upstream in the synthesis, and Trinexipac ethyl inhibits the pathway downstream. So they are working on the same pathway. And preliminary work in 2016 showed that a tank mixture between both active ingredients showed very good standability. And that led us into our 2017 experiments at three sites in central Alberta. Our objectives were to look at the relative responses of spring wheat, spring barley, and spring oat to permaclot, Trinexipac, and the interaction between the two in the tank, and also specifically different rates of permaclot and Trinexipac mixed together in the tank. So do we need 100 and 100% of label rate together, or can we reduce some rates and get similar results? So we had separate wheat, barley, and oat trials at each location, testing 5 rates of permaclot and 5 rates of Trinexipac, and these were 0, 25, 50, 75, and 100% of the labeled or recommended full rate. And in combination, they gave us 25 treatments in every combination of the permaclot and Trinexipac rates. So this would be an unrandomized first rep in the field. So our PGRs are applied at the beginning of stem elongation, which is BBCH31. And because the majority of our rates are off-label due to unregistered products, we did take the advice of Engage Agro and Syngenta to determine what our 100% label rate would be. And for permaclot in wheat, it was around 1,000 grams active ingredient per hectare. And in barley and oat, it was higher at 1,400 was the recommendation by Engage. Trinexipac, Syngenta recommended 100 grams active for wheat and a higher rate of 125 grams active for barley. So keep in mind, this is our 100% rate, and we are tank mixing percentages of these active ingredients. So for example, our 50% permaclot, 50% Trinexipac tank mix was applied in the tank as 558 grams permaclot and 50 grams Trinexipac. We selected cultivars based on actual or anticipated area, so to have higher grower impact. Farmers are familiar with these varieties, and our seeding rates were on the high end of normal to encourage lodging. We had variable soil characteristics, a high organic matter of 12% in St. Albert, relatively acidic conditions in Vermilion, and again, our nitrogen fertilizer was applied to encourage lodging. We measured height and lodging at physiological maturity. Lodging was on a 1 to 5 scale, with 1 being perfectly standing and 5 being completely flat on the ground. ProcMix was used to analyze the data, and we determined the significance of linear, quadratic, cubic, or quartic relationships. And based on that, we created response equations with polynomial estimates. So all of the response relationships were linear for height and lodging, and that's what you'll be seeing today. So you'll be seeing hydrolodging and an intercept, if significant, a coefficient for permaclot rate, a coefficient for Trinexipac rate, and then one for the interaction. Service regression was attempted, but because this data is linear, it wasn't an appropriate method to analyze. We saw the greatest lodging in barley across sites, and there is minimal lodging in wheat and oat, more leaning than lodging, but we were still able to get some statistics off the wheat and oat data. And just before I really jump in, I'm going to compare the magnitude of the equation coefficients to help quantify whether chloramiclod had a bigger effect or Trinexipac. So in this example, the 0.063 coefficient is much greater than 0.027, so chloramiclod is having a bigger effect on the height reduction in this equation. And further to that, I'm going to use the 50-50 tank mix as an example to show the relative response as a contribution of total for this tank mix. So in this example, of the 6-centimeter height reduction that we're seeing, chloramiclod is responsible for 54%, Trinexipac for 25%, and the interaction between the two is contributing 21% of that height reduction. And then you'll see a response graphic. The height or lodging will be on the z-axis, increasing rates of chloramiclod on the x, increasing rates of Trinexipac on the y. This is our control, and this is 100 and 100% rates. So for the wheat height reductions, chloramiclod was the more effective active ingredient. So we saw bigger height decreases with the wheat. And you can see that from the 0.043 coefficient being larger than the 0.025. Chloramiclod contributed 45% of the height reduction at St. Albert. And similar at Barrhead, chloramiclod was contributing 54% to the height reduction, so more so than Trinexipac. About equal at Vermilion, but interestingly, the interaction between the two active ingredients was significant. So just the fact of mixing them together in the tank, we were seeing a 28 and 21% height reduction two-thirds of the time. Similar trends with wheat lodging. Chloramiclod was more effective, and in the two sites where there was lodging, at one of the sites we did see an interaction. You'll notice lodging was not severe, but despite that, we did pick up a statistically significant interaction from the tank mix for lodging reduction. Barley had opposite response to the PGRs than wheat. Trinexipac was the more effective active ingredient, so we had shorter barley with the Trinexipac. But again, we did have a significant interaction, and maybe even more so significant in the barley. At St. Albert, chloramiclod chloride and Trinexipac mixture was contributing 36% of the height decrease for that 50-50 tank mix. And at Barrhead, up to 39% of the height reduction was just because the two active ingredients were mixed together in the tank. We didn't see that interaction at Vermilion, but Trinexipac was the more effective active ingredient. In terms of lodging, Trinexipac was also more effective at lodging reduction, and the interaction was significant at St. Albert, but not at Barrhead. Now, you may be wondering, what does this look like in the field? On the right here, on your left, we have the control treatment with lodging. One photo over, that's the 100% recommended rate of chloramiclod alone. Then we have a little bit better standability with the Trinexipac. And then on the far photo, we have the 50-50 tank mix with the best standability. So we were able to pick this out visually in the field. Oat was the middle child. There was about equal efficacy of both active ingredients, and we did see an interaction with a tank mix at one site. So oat, definitely intermediate efficacy between products, but still seeing this interaction in the tank at one site for height reduction. And for lodging, we had lodging at one site, very slight lodging. Keep in mind, one is completely standing, but despite that, our statistics still picked up a significant interaction in the tank for chloramiclod and Trinexipac. So to conclude, it's clear that chloramiclod was likely the better active ingredient on wheat, Trinexipac on barley, and either on oat, but I think more significantly, the interaction in the tank, it really has some on-farm implications in terms of economics for growers, and since these products are being registered in the future, and I mean, this is very new for growers, what this may mean is that a grower can apply lower rates of both active ingredients mixed together in the tank and have equal or better efficacy in terms of a lodging reduction than a full rate of either active ingredient alone. So we did see environmental effects here, so we will be testing in additional environments next year. We need to answer whether responses are cultivar specific, and we need to analyze the yield and quality data to see any beneficial or negative impacts that the PGRs are having on yield and quality. I'd like to thank our technical staff and all the funders for this project, and take questions if there's time. Sure.
Did you get any differences in yield from the treatment, so positive effects on yield?
Yeah, so we haven't, this specific yield data hasn't been analyzed yet, but from our preliminary work in 2016, we do see small effects on yield. Specifically in barley, we're seeing yield increases with quimaclop chloride. Not huge, but there is some effect of these PGRs on yield. Yes?
Related to that, is there any impact on testing?
In barley, I can speak to quimaclop chloride in barley, and there was no effect on test weight. But since this is very new, I'd be hesitant to say no outright across. But we do have that data, and we will be looking at it. And in terms of the mechanism for this interaction, we don't know if it's a surfactant interaction. We don't know if it's something in the pathway. So it's difficult to say exactly why this is happening, but it's we think it's quite neat. So. Yes?
So from an economic standpoint, could there be a trade-off between the use of these growth regulators versus cutting back on some nitrogen on the barley?
Meaning, do you mean apply a higher rate of nitrogen and keep it standing?
No, a lower rate of nitrogen and sacrificing a little bit of yield, but not having to pay for the products.
I guess we've kind of, I suppose you could do that, but we kind of see the application as, especially in something like a high-yielding bread wheat or high-yielding oat crop and feed barley, where we are free to apply high rates of nitrogen without quality implications. We want to use these to keep the crop standing and apply higher rates of nitrogen. So under really high intensive management systems in Western Canada, using PGRs to allow for higher rates of nitrogen. Well, thank you.